I'm nervous preaching to this many people. Three weeks ago, as I lay alone in my hospital room, I was bored. And I was yearning to get back here to a sense of the normal. I started to think about today, Rally Sunday. What would I say? How would I bring the message of the Christian faith to bring meaning to what's going on in our lives, in our world, in our church? So, as I often do, I started by looking up the definition of the word rally on the internet. The first one to catch my eye, interestingly, was to rally is to cause to recover in health or in spirit. Well, that hit home. Because I was feeling particularly sorry for myself at that point. I'd been alone for 10 days. Hadn't seen another human face. But what could I do? And then I read further. And I read another definition. To rally is to assemble in a mass meeting. Probably not the best advice in a pandemic. And I read a third definition that seemed to fit where others did not. To rally is to come together in order to support a person or a cause. Each year on Rally Sunday in September, as our programs get going after a summer of rest, we come back together with renewed commitment, renewed dedication to our faith and our church. But what can we do this year as a church? Many are justifiably afraid and cautious as we see the suffering and the death continue all around us. Pain and suffering are with us. Turn on the television, read the newspaper, listen to your neighbor or a member of your family. Suffering is a part of authentic living. And the greatest courage is the courage of suffering. When we face a fate that cannot be changed, an incurable disease, a broken relationship, the suffering of our beloved, what matters above all is the attitude we take toward our suffering. And yet how often we feel sorry for ourselves. Or the suffering one. Jesus taught his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed and rise again. But Peter rebuked him. And Jesus said to Peter, "You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And he called the crowd to him and he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Christianity is not a path on suffering. When it comes to this, a book that has been so important to me over the years as I have dealt with suffering in my life and in my ministry is Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And what was so important about this book to me is Frankl's account of his years in the concentration camps of the Holocaust, of his suffering and his survival. Given his experience, his words ring with authority. He says, "If there be a meaning in life at all, then there must be a meaning in suffering. Without suffering and death, human life cannot be complete. If any of you wish to follow me, you must take up your cross, Jesus said. All of us carry worries and burdens, desires and disappointments. All of us experience suffering and sometimes even ask, why doesn't God relieve pain and suffering? Where is God's power? Can God be all-powerful and all-loving? Where was God on 9/11? Where was God in Christ's suffering? But what if God's power is not like human power? God's power certainly isn't used to do for me what I can do for myself. Nor does it seem to answer my needs for the healing of the suffering of the ones whom I love. We live without the assurance of the power of God, but in the promise of the presence of God. If you want to be my follower, Jesus said, you must deny yourself. There's so many things that we have to let go, and one of them is the demand for answers and for God's power as we wish it. I think the poet said it correctly. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things. To love what is mortal. To hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it. And when the time comes, to let it go. To let it go. Sometimes we pray for God's power in our lives to ease or remove the suffering, while still clutching the habits and actions that cause them. When you've lost your job, your spouse, the usefulness of your body, when you see suffering and injustice all about, what does it mean that all things work together for good for those who love God? Is the Apostle Paul promising us too much? Perhaps before the wounds of the world, the best things would be to keep silent. And yet Job didn't. Apostle Paul didn't either. He interpreted his suffering through the cross of Christ and interpreted the cross through his suffering. Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow. We too are vulnerable. It's a real world out there. So as I sat in that hospital room, feeling so alone, I prayed, Lord, what can I do? And the answer came to me. Hold on. I'm with you. Look around. I'm with you in every text from your family and your friends and your church members. And as I watched the worship here this day, that day, and I saw all the empty pews, I was worried. Will the church survive? It's a prayer I pray each day as I look at the challenges we face as a church. How do we rally at a time like this? The answer is clear. Hold on. Baptize your little ones. Find safe ways to gather your children for Sunday school. Provide remote ways to worship for those who are not yet able to be physically present. Let music once again proclaim our faith. Hold on, God says. I'm with you. I'm with you in the love of your family and your friends and your church members. There are some challenging times ahead for our church. The pandemic is still with us. The search for a new ministerial leadership will be a challenge. But this troubled world needs to hear the voice of Christ through you. I believe that God wants the best for us. Wants harmony and well-being for all of us. I believe in the love God pours into us through the Holy Spirit. For God does not send suffering, but is with us in our suffering. And God's promise, I will be with you. The message is simple. Hold on.